Hi, and welcome to Fully Boosted, episode one.
Two.
2020-2.
Matt 100% stepped all over that. We need to do it again.
I was recording the whole time, so I got all of I got all of it. Yeah, it's going to be great.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, then fuck it. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. We're doing it live. It's going to be good.
Who are you?
I'm Grant. Brad, you
nice.
Go.
Well, am I next? I'm Brad.
You go next.
I forgot I was next.
It's Brad, and then I'm Pete, and...
I'm also Pete.
He is also Pete.
Perfect. We didn't lose a beat. It's just like we did this recently with a lost episode one that'll never air. that didn't actually happen, but... So we are back from a awesome Captain Con, where Pete, Zosha, and Seth all were TOs this weekend, and last weekend, and you guys did a great job. So
thanks.
All of Pete's perspective, which I am going to be curious about, is going to be from the TO side. But I did not go last year, but I will say from what everyone told me and from the previous year, it was a vast improvement, and I had just an absolute blast. I thought it was a great weekend. How about all of you guys?
Go ahead, Bradley.
I had a spectacular time. So I got in Thursday evening, was able to play in the solo events on Friday, the team event on Saturday. Was lucky enough to make it to Mass on Sunday, so I had a full weekend of War Machine. Some of the best people you can spend it with. Not much more you can ask for at a convention. It was timed well, and the terrain was good, which I think all of us will speak fairly honestly. Last year's Captain Con, which I think we were all in attendance for.
Except me, which I just said, but go on.
Right. Well, I'm just going to tell you that they're
okay.
The event timings were rough, and the terrain was rougher. I don't think that was a cause for concern for anyone in the room this entire weekend. So a pretty dramatic turnaround from one year to this one.
I would second pretty much everything Bradley said, especially the part about Grant being there last year.
Yep, definitely happened.
He was definitely there. But no, I had a really good time this year. I played Butts War Machine, grabbed a lot of butts. People grabbed my butt. It was an interesting time. A few people came up and grabbed my ass and were like, that's McMatt-Matt ass. And I was like, who are you? And they're like, you don't know me. And I'm like, all right, whatever.
That's what we go for. We go for the random ass grabs. Like, that's what it's all about.
I mean, I'm into it. I don't give a shit. That's fine. I'm just glad that ass grabbing has become so mainstream in War Machine that people don't even need to know your name to do it anymore.
It's great. I love where we've come. But Matt, you were one of the bigger proponents last year about, I think it was last year, about things that needed to get done better. So what was your feedback off of the changes?
So last year, I basically lost my mind and was like, I'm never going to another Captain Con ever again. It was the worst event I've ever been to. And then this year, it was very, very good. It's almost like it was a completely different crew running it. That's what it was, wasn't it? No, it was good. I the train was good, clocks were good, time management was good. There was a lunch break, so I got to actually eat food. There was no judge calls where like I got absolutely hosed because judges had a ruling wrong, and then refused to look at a rule book or like do measurements on a table. So that was all really good. It was a great event this year. Really, I have nothing negative to say. I'm like looking. I'm searching.
No, it was pretty perfect, man. Just like you said, registration, everything went smooth. I mean, again, there's back end stuff, but like to the con goer, everything was smooth. Lists were printed. They were ready. I mean, we had the whole war room fuckery, but that was literally nobody at the con's fault. That was just them pushing out a dynamic update that kind of fucked war room. But I think basically everybody was able to get it worked. It worked around. And I think that was fine. Again, nobody's fault. That was just what happened when they pushed the convergence stuff out. Go ahead.
That update was probably the worst timed update we could have gotten. Like, literally, you read the Steamroller document, and it says, if your device, which is running War Room, fails, you have to, and you can't recover in a timely manner, you have to concede the game. At one point, Ben Hampshire from England, he flew all the way over here to play. He's like, hey, Pete, my war room won't even load, and I'm in the middle of a game. So I threw him my iPad and said, "Here, build your list." And he ended up using my iPad. And then Mark, I think he goes by Wittensell.
Mm-hmm.
He yells at me that his war room died. He goes, "But I'm going to just write down my damage tracks right now, and I just need you to verify them." So I walk over, and I'm like, "Yep, okay, keep going." I guess if I was able to meet with Privateer Press and give them like positive feedback and recommendations, I would request that they move their dynamic updates to Tuesdays, vice Thursdays. That would give some time to work out some of these kinks, so it's not happening. Because you got to think, anywhere in the world on a Saturday, there's something going on in War Machine land. And if they just backed up to a Tuesday instead of doing it on a Thursday, I think that would help their just iron out some of the problems.
Yeah, I'd give them a few days to get some shit fixed. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I don't disagree. One thing I want to talk about in Captain Con is the attendance. So it felt like to me the Masters was super full of people. Pete, you can probably verify some numbers here, but I everywhere I looked, there was a ton of people playing Masters. Champs had enough to run. The team tournament had a bunch of teams. It was pretty crazy. There was when I was recording another podcast recently, and someone brought up like, oh, attendance, something, something. There was definitely a ton of War Machine players there. So like, just as a quick thing, if you guys want to keep going to cons and having fun and having these events, pre-register, buy your tickets, and go to the event. Because the only way you get to go to events is, you know, by going to them.
Yeah, so I just pulled up the numbers. So we had 59 people in our four Masters heats, which was pretty good. And then concurrently, while those ran, we had 8 people in Champions. And then on day 2, we had 28 three-person teams going to the team tournament. So we ended up with... as per Warfare Weekend, we had 102 unique players going for the Masters, and that's actually more than Las Vegas Open.
Yeah, nice. Because of the way that they do that. And like you said, Champs, unfortunately, because we, you know, a lot of cons don't have the team tournament, with having Champs and the standard issue the same day, unfortunately, that it just isn't. A lot. You don't get a huge draw into Champs when it runs. If we had done like Thursday Champs, Friday standard issue, Saturday teen tournament, you would have seen some more in Champs. But like you said, because it ran concurrently, that kind of fucked some stuff up. So,
yep. While we're talking about one of the cons and events and stuff. So for a three-person team tournament, we did the jump from your typical captain, lieutenant, sergeant, and then we went to the German style, which is the mini WTC style. One of the things I was kicking around, what would the impact be if there were 3 different scenarios on the tables?
Do not like.
Don't like?
No.
No, I'm going to veto Brad's dislike. I do like.
So here's my thinking, right? Now, I'm going to use my experience on Crix for my example here. There are like a couple scenarios that are really dumb for Scar 1. Like, they're really good for her. Yep. And if I can make it so that I have a better chance on playing on some of those scenarios, not every round, but like more often than not, playing the same scenario multiple times, I think that's like dumb, okay. Personally. I also think like, you bring like a caster that like likes a slow grindy game, and you can like guarantee to get them on an invasion or a bunkers every round. Like, also probably not great.
I would say just for the sake of that, for time, because you already have that element of everyone, who are we going to put down? Who are we going to put here? What table do we want? Just to add another 3 to 5 minutes into the equation when you've got 20 plus teams. Like, I actually don't hate the idea. I do agree with what Brad said, but from an event standpoint, I feel like adding one more wrinkle into it might just make it too complicated.
Okay, because what I was looking at was you don't lose time trying to set up the scenarios. One of the big challenges at Capticon is all the tables are really close together. So, you know, when you guys were talking about grabbing ass, that was literally me all weekend. It would be judge call, and I would just, like, dive in there, hands first, just slapping cheeks as I ran by.
Hands first my ass, dude. You were tongue first. Get up in there, big boy.
Because there's just no room. Like, I'm pretty sure I was Julian's backpack for, like, a hot minute because I couldn't get around, so I just had to go over top of him. So my thinking was to, you know, remove that time gap of having to set up every single table. But then we would have to verify every single table. So, yeah.
What if, just a thought. What if you just set up the three rows of tables with each row having a different scenario on it? You just rotate the teams through each row.
So that comes in the complication of doing the pairings. Cause we, you know, leaned heavily into PG Swiss to do all that math for us.
All right. I didn't think out my suggestion at all, Pete. So just shit on me. It's fine. I'm
No worries. I think it's something that is an interesting thought, and I'd have to see if it makes sense to try to flesh it out. Main problem, obviously, is we don't have a lot of three-person team tournaments that we can just try it on. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Random thought.
Yeah.
What if we made it a four-person team tournament? Hear me out.
Perfect. Go.
Solves all of the problems, all right?
What are tiebreakers?
Ship captain crew, for obviously.
Ship captain crew.
We'll see if we can make that happen.
Yeah, if that could be a rule, like an official rules packet somewhere, that'd be pretty sweet.
I'm so in. Making it happen.
All right. Let's reel in. Let's come back to the thing itself. So yeah, we did do that. I am personally, I love that style. The captain, sergeant, lieutenant, whatever, I don't like that. I don't think that adds anything. You get your one feat, and it's kind of, where you get put doesn't really matter. At least here, it's you're picking a match, you're not getting a match. Like, this team tournament should not be run any other way, in my opinion. After doing this for, like, the, I don't know, sixth time I've run, been in one of these, this is the way to go, unquestionably. Does anybody disagree with that?
No, for three-man teams.
For three-man. Yeah. Yep. So we got in, we all got in Thursday. Matt, you got in, I think, a little earlier. Pete, unfortunately, had to leave because we agreed that we were going to go pick up and drop off Jake Wellstra, Mark Wittensall, and Ben Hampshire in Boston. Unfortunately, they had, I guess they just got delayed, right, going through customs. So you were gone for a few hours.
Yeah, there was some weirdness. I had like an hour window to drop Trish and Salt, my new con dog, drop them off at the hotel, and then head out to Boston. It was only like an hour and a half drive, but I'm on the way there. They land, and we get the message, stuck in customs. I'm like, all right, let's go park and wait. So, yeah, I think it took them like 45 minutes to get out of customs. So that was fun.
Yeah, and then you stopped, got some dinner. I think we just went over to the sports bar across the street.
Arugas.
Arugas.
Yeah, they paid for this plug. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We got some spicy diarrhea, and that was good.
It was good. I enjoyed my spicy diarrhea.
On Friday night, I went out with Ireland and a few other people that play Monpai primarily, and I forget the name of where we went, but we like threw it into Google Maps. It was only like 2 miles down the road, so we get there. The other car, because there's two cars going, they give us a call almost like as soon as we pull in the parking lot, and they're like, guys, where the hell are you? It's like, we're at the restaurant that we said we're going to, that we both like talked the name about before we left. And they're like, well, we're at like a boatyard. Like, well, that's not it. So like, we had to look up the place we were at and send them the address, which they then got there. We then found out that we like went to like a not so much like a chain, but they have like five or six locations up in the Rhode Island area, and one of them is apparently in a boatyard and it was just closed at night. So they were just wandering around docks until they came to the right one.
Was
so sweet.
Ireland driving that car?
No, our car knew where we were going. The other car did not.
Interesting.
Wandering around docks at night sounds like a typical Ireland thing.
We're just going to the wrong place in general. Is also an Ireland move. When we were driving up, we were going to meet them at a rest stop in North Jersey because we both kind of collide on the parkway. So shockingly, they left at the right time, and then we get there, and he's like, "Where are you? We're inside." And we're like, "No, we're inside. The rest stop's not that big." Like, and I'm like, "Oh God, Mike went to the wrong rest stop. Like, he's probably in Pennsylvania or New York or Connecticut somewhere, and we're sitting here in Jersey." And then turns out that they were just in the bathroom and then came out. But it was, I was just sitting there looking at Ryan. I'm like, "Here we go. Mike's at the wrong place."
My drive was nice. We drove down. And that's the story. That was the extent of it.
Neat.
It was a good drive. Nice, quiet drive. We listened to French radio and French music the whole way down. So I feel like my French has gotten significantly worse. It was bad to begin with. Now it's definitely piss poor.
And then we played a game Thursday night, right? Matt, you played Trish?
Yeah, I played against Trish. We had a super sweet game. I will say, though, that if you guys see people playing and having a fun time, don't just surround the table like a bunch of fucking mouth breathers and start talking about the game. Trish and I are playing, and there's like fucking 15 people standing around jerking each other off, like a series of Dutch rudders, and talking about the game we're playing, and like whispering, "Hey, blah, blah, blah." I'm like, holy shit, dude. Like, I play on Final Tables, and that was more stressful than Final Tables.
Yeah, when I got back and saw that, I could tell, like, her frustration level was huge.
Yeah, it was bad. I was like, can you guys fuck off, please?
I was handing out baby Michael Stone dice tray pictures, so that diffused that situation for, like, 20 minutes while people tried to figure out why a person would be handing that out at a convention.
Yeah, I did enjoy rolling dice on Mike Stone's face all weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I rolled stuff on his face, but it wasn't dice.
Nice. All right, let's talk about our... let's start with Friday. So Matt and I both played in standard issue. We got in the same heat and ended up getting matched up round two. Brad took the easy road. No, I'm just kidding. But Brad played champs. And took down champs, correct?
We did it.
You did it. Because you played Scar 1, so it was really hard.
Yeah, my round 2 was not great. I should have lost round 2. Lich 1 saved the day, and we spell assassinated Scar. It's pretty sweet.
Now, remind me, Brad, while we were grinding out 7-round games and had to play 4 rounds in standard issue, how many total rounds of War Machine did you play for your Friday?
6 total rounds.
Nice.
Six okay. turns is another way to say it.
Right. Six. Brad made 6 turns of activations, and that was it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I mean, I had to play against players that knew what they were doing. Just one was like positioning error, one was a strong scenario grab, one was an assassination. Like, I played Tim Fong, I played a handful of other guys that like all are, you know what they're doing.
So my round 1 of Masters, I'm just going to jump right in, boys.
Let's do it.
My round 1 of Masters was a fairly new player from Ontario, and I played Lil 3 versus his Assyria list. And some of the guys from his local meta messaged me as I'm getting into the game, and I'm like, they're like, "Hey, take it easy on him. Like, he's still fairly new. Don't just like be an asshole." And I was like, "Come on, guys. You know me better than that. Of course I'm going to be an asshole, no matter what you say." So I played a little 3 into Tridents, and we had a fun like teaching game where I told him how, like, showed him how to body block the assassination and like protect his models a bit, and that was really cool. And then round 2 I played against Grant over here,
mm-hmm.
who with some coaching from Jake Wilstrop tried to solve the matchup.
Hey, to be fair, you were talking to JVM.
We didn't talk about the match.
Oh, okay.
We didn't talk about the matchup.
Okay.
We were just talking about Thagrosh 2 and Lilith 2 and shit. But no, so, yes, we played that game, and that was a lot of fun.
I got pooped on.
Yeah, Siege 1 versus Animag. Everyone told me it's like unwinnable and really bad, but I just pushed my models at Grant until he had no more models.
I did run out of models. It was not good. But we actually had a really good talk about that match, which was good because we ended up getting paired up again in the team tournament, which we'll get to. So I actually learned a lot, and we had a much better second game than the first game. But it was cool. I also played that gentleman you played. His name was Chris Swan. I played him, I think, round 4 or 2.
I played a bunch of games, and the highlight of all of my games was that I survived an 87% assassination against a drunk hobbit-looking motherfucker, and that's the most important thing.
Was that Rich?
Yeah, that was Rich.
Okay, great.
He had an 87%
assassination on me? Yeah, dude.
I'm mad for Rich right now.
So I had mispositioned a little bit because I thought I would kill Hakkar, but he was very much armor, and I was not very much POW enough, so he survived and then just wandered through all my free strikes and got on anime, missed 2 5s to hit, and I lived. That was my Masters run. I think I played one more game, and I don't remember it, so there's that. Go ahead, Grant. What were your games?
I also played the gentleman you played, Chris. He dropped Assyria into Striker 1 in Flames. I played Steve Lopez, who's a sweet guy that I've seen around. Never got to play him before. He wasn't super keen on Gareth 2 into the Moro stuff, so he dropped Vyros 2, which we talked about later, that Gareth 2 would have been, I believe, the better drop. So that was, I think I took his trident off the table with the blockader and then feeded, and then Imperatus kind of, even with synergy, kind of looked at it. I was like, yeah, I don't think I can do that. And then I kind of got scenario there. And then I the other game I played besides Matt was against Mark Wittenstall, who dropped Amadamos into Striker. And we were playing on Spread the Net, which was a pretty good scenario for me, and that was going decently well until I made the move that I think everyone has made before, where I'm trying to cut down on my clock, and instead of actually starting to measure distances, I just like took Striker and ran him to toe the edge of my zone behind my blockader. I was like, this is fine. He's out of kill box. I should be fine here. And then he looks. I'm not going to do the accent, but it was something along the lines of, Grant, I'm really sorry, mate, but you're within 13 inches of this tormentor, so I think I'm going to kill Striker. And that's how that game went. Then Striker died, because I just didn't measure 13. So I went 2-2. I did not qualify out to Masters off of standard issue. But had a good day, had some really good games, and it was a lot of fun. Friday was super sweet. I thought standard issue ran really, really well, really smooth. We got done, I think, at a pretty reasonable time. And I think we ended up... I just ordered pizza. I was tired. I didn't feel like going anywhere. So we just ordered pizza and got it delivered to the hotel and just kind of hung out and had some beers and played some games. And then we had the team tournament Saturday. Unless... I guess, Pete, let's... you were judging. How was judging for standard issue on Friday?
Judging was fine. It was myself as the head judge and then Seth Cohen as the floor judge. One of the things we ended up doing was basically for any call, we would, after it was resolved, we would talk about it just so that we're both on the same page and we both understood it. It got to the point where it was so boring just sitting at the desk that, like, whenever anyone would yell judge, we would both run over there. The other thing...
No, I got this one! Fuck you!
No, it was fine. It was fine. So the other interesting thing that occurred, or phenomenon that I noticed, is obviously as someone who plays the game, like watching people play, you want to play. So I'm standing there staring at their game, and I'm watching a game go down, and the players would take notice that, hey, the judge is here. And either one of two things would happen. One, they would start like... getting kind of nervous, like what, triple checking everything, or they would become almost lazy and be like, oh, is this 12 inches? Hey, judge, can you take a look at this? You're right here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not going to measure your 12 inch straight walk. You're fine. Do it. So it took me like a day into the con to realize like that sweet spot of checking in on a game and not becoming visible to the players. Because like you don't want to make them nervous and you don't want them to not play. You don't want to play the game for them. Cause they'll do that in a heartbeat. They'll be like, oh, I'm tired here. Can you put my army tray over there? Thanks, Petey Bear.
Hey, that was me. You're talking about me.
Like, Pete, I'm going to go smoke a cigarette. Can you hold my army sheet for me so lose it?
That's me again. That's me again.
That was both of us.
Yeah. So I'm going to be honest here. If I know you and you're at an event, and I see you, I'm gonna take advantage of the fact that I know you as a human being and ask you to do things for me.
Yeah, like when Matt and I played, I put half of Matt's army back on his tray and set up the next scenario because I wanted to go eat, and Matt was like, "Yeah, I don't want to do any of that right now." And I was like, "Well, your shit's right in the middle of the table, so it's pretty hard for me to set the next scenario up. So I guess I'll put it on your tray for you."
I'm the actual worst. multiple times through the weekend, I got angry texts from people like, "Hey, can you clean up your shit?" I'm like, you know, that's fair. That's a completely fair complaint. I hear you, but I'm not changing.
Also, were all of those texts from Pete?
No. They were like, so I've been with Jake a few times on a team, and whenever a round's over, I like to go socialize and have fun. That's what I go to cons for. And so, like, I leave my shit, and I'm like, I'll go have a cigarette, or, like, go say hi to someone, go grab a butt, and then, like, I'll get an angry text from Jake, like, "Hey, clean up your shit, we're gonna start the next round, where are you?" And then Trish will message me, "Next round starting, Matt!" I'm like, oh my god. I mean, like, I don't rush. I'm like, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, like, to be fair, I'm the asshole in this situation, they're not. And that's okay with me. I'm okay wearing that hat.
Another thing I will say is that it does get tight in there, but you guys, and I think Zosha was handling this portion of it, but got the pairings printed and posted onto Facebook and Twitter at a very reasonably pace. So, like, by the time it was like pairings are up, I'd log on Facebook, they were there, and then I could check my table and then go right there. So I think that helped kind of clear some of the traffic from the head table. I think that was a really big deal. That helped a lot.
Leveraging technology was extremely helpful. Some of the other things we did, because of the confines of the event, like literally it would take 2 minutes from someone at the judge table to get to a table all the way at the end of the row. So we just announced, "Hey, if you're calling judge, pause the clock. Because, you know, it's going to take time for us to look at you and tell you to pause. So just pause the clock. We're going to head over there as soon as possible." And I think that was effective. There was at least 4 calls that by the time we got there, they were like, "Oh, yeah, we figured it out with the clock paused." We're like, "Okay, great. Unpause and keep going." You know, so people were able to self-police. I noticed, too, a bunch of players were pausing the clock at the end of a turn to score. And we didn't say anything about that. And I actually kind of applauded that because there was no miscommunications. There was a clear, like, "Hey, I pause the clock. I scored 1, you scored 2. The score is this. We're at this turn. Are you ready? Go." I must have seen at least 10 to 15 players doing that on a regular basis. I think we're going to try to institute that at our local Steamrollers in the future.
Yeah, I do that. Someone told me to do that, and I started doing it because it was like, "Don't do that on your own clock. Like, just pause real quick, do it, and then, you know, agree on everything and pass clock." I was like, "Okay," and I did that at Captain Con, and it worked great. It was awesome.
Yep.
So, Rich did that in our game, and it was really good. So, like, for me personally, like, I'm lazy as fuck, and like, I don't mind taking the time on my clock to score things. I don't want to reach over again and touch the button. I'm that lazy. So, like, Rich is, like, pausing the clock when he flips it to my turn to confirm the score. I'm like, "Dude, I don't care. Just, like, say the score, man. Like I'm not going to clock out this game. It's fine. You're going to, like, it's whatever." And he's like, no, like, "Let's be clean. Like, I want to talk everything through." And I'm like, "All right, like, that's on you. You be as clean as you want to do, dude. I'm just going to push models."
Well, it's easier to do that because if there is a disagreement, like, "No, I scored 2, you're not, like, burning, another 30 seconds to a minute off your opponent's clock because you fucked up. You know, and you're like, "Oh, it's going to be quick for me to write this score down on his turn." But then there's a disagreement, and you probably have to pause it anyway. And
I agree. It's better. Yeah. It's definitely better than being lazy. Turns out not being lazy is usually better than being lazy. But my point is more so, like, I don't know. I feel like the pausing gets good, and, like, that's definitely good, clean play. I just like to give, like, everyone the benefit of, like, they know what they're doing, right? And, like, we're just going to keep advancing the game and having fun. If there's a problem, we can communicate. We're adults, right? I will say that, like, every time someone tried to confirm something with me and, like, be very clear, it felt really awkward. I don't know if it's just, like, me being, like, a grumpy butt or lazy or, like, whatever, but, like, they'd be, like, declaring every single movement and every single intention, and, like, confirming it and waiting for, like, a vocal cue. And I was like, "That's good and clean, and I promote that 100%. But I'm like, I had to tell people multiple times, like, I'm not going to fuck you over on anything. Like, you don't have to confirm it with me like that. Like, just say, like, I'm doing this. And, like, you got it, man.
I think you're being grumpy.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like, so, I don't know.
So, last Captain Con, the year before, I played Charles Soong in Masters. And I'm like, all right, this unit is going to activate. They're going to run. And he's just, and he goes, Pete, just do it. Just do it. Don't tell me. Just do it. I can tell that you're running. So I think there may be something about Canadians.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. It's just, it was one of those things where I was like, yeah, man, I can see what you're doing. You have the stick down. You don't need to tell me 7 times that you're measuring 12 inches. Like, I get it.
I don't know. I like to confirm everything with my opponent, especially if it's something where it's like, here's the measurement, because once I pick that model up, it gets really fucked if we're like not in agreement on what just happened. So the verbal contract of your opponent agreeing with what you're doing just makes you feel better. So if there's any question, you'd be like, well, I measured the 12 and we agreed and we talked about it. And like, oh, okay. Instead of being like, oh, well, I was running, but I didn't say it, so...
Yeah, well, there's a difference between being like, here's 12, I ran this guy 12 to here, he's out of this distance, and being like, I ran him 12, do you agree?
Sure. Yeah, that's can be overkill. I get what you're saying.
I don't know. I guess I just, like, I trust people to do their things correctly, so, like... I don't know. I don't feel like I have to. I don't try to police people at events, I guess, would be the way I play my game. So, like, if someone's doing something, and, like, there's, like, as an example, in my game versus you, when you, like, measured things, I was like, your intention is to be out of this threat range, right? And you're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, then you need to move that guy back. Just like when I played Jake Wilstrop, and he was, like, measuring distances, and I was like, okay, you have to move these models back a little bit, right? Like, to be out of this range. And he's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And, like, same thing with Mark, all that stuff. I feel like giving your opponent the benefit of the doubt on their intentions is the best way to play, right? Rather than being like, you have to verify every single... I run all these models exactly 11.5 inches. This guy's 11. Like, dude, like, I know what you're doing. It's fine.
I like what Mark said, and I kind of adopted it. And again, not that I hadn't heard it before, but I really like that mentality of, tell me what your intentions are, and I will help you to make it happen, and we'll make sure that if it's a legal move, we'll make it work. You tell me what you want to do, and we'll make it happen.
Yeah, IDP.
Yeah. But yeah, it was that was sweet. So both you and Brad qualified off of standard issue. I did not, so I had to hope to do it in the team tournament. And
I didn't qualify with standard issue.
Okay, sorry. You're right. You qualified in champ. I meant on Friday. You had already qualified because you won champs, I guess. No, I'm just kidding.
I did.
You did. You did the thing. I guess. You did the thing.
Jesus, you could have also registered for champs, Grant. You could have stopped me.
Ugh, Signar's champs is just not. Ugh, no thanks. Pass.
You know, Pete, you could have played Scar 1. You could have played whatever faction you wanted.
I could have. I did not want to do that, though. So, all right, so we head into the team tournament. Matt was on team Ripping Farts and Breaking Hearts, which was himself, the Jake Van Meter, and Trish Soretti. The
Trish Soretti.
The best Soretti.
Yes, absolutely best Soretti.
Brad, you were with Mark Mail and Jeremy Posner Esquire, as it says on Conflict Chamber, on Brad's two chest friends. And then I was on Dick Thunder with Derek Zenstrom and the aforementioned Rich Owens. So we got the matchup we did not want round one. Early morning, get the round one jitters, and then we get Matt and Trish and JVM, and we're like, fuck, there goes the dream, boys.
Sounds like an easy round.
Dream's dead. But like we discussed, me and Matt got paired up again, and had a much better game. Matt still won, but we did get to play the Siege Animag match twice, which was pretty cool. And Brad, how was your round one?
Round one was good. We played some boys from Philly. I got to play my round one champs opponent again, and I think we did well. We either 2-1 or 3-0'd, but we had a good first round. I got to play some sweet... What was I playing? I was playing Helga. I get to play a sweet game where Helga feeded and we top of 2 Krios 3.
Oh, yeah, you did talk about that. You want to run through that real quick? Or just...
So real quick. Helga feeded a Primal Archon, was able to charge and kill a Menid Archon because he slammed him in the wall. which then allowed me to get some souls off some of his Cav models onto a Void Archon. Those souls allowed the Void Archon to boost some attacks it needed to hit. To get on to Krios 3, we slammed into his objective twice, and then sprayed with a Roadhog, and that's all she wrote.
Yeah, that's pretty hot.
Because it does continuous fire. I get it.
What?
The Roadhog spray does continuous fire, right?
It does. Well, I don't get what's the joke I'm missing?
He said it was hot.
Oh.
All right, I'll just see myself out.
Man.
Really, though, the game
Man, I'm deleting about. This so fast.
The game we're talking about is the next round. Danny was on the meta not too long ago, and he talked about only one of his games, to my knowledge. Maybe more than one, but he only talked about one game at length from Catacombs when he played Nick Rattel, who I also played in the team event. And I played against this really sweet Tanith list that halfway through the game, none of my plans worked, and I didn't kill anything. What is happening? It was really cool. Dunian Archons make every plan worse. I couldn't kill Primal Archons. That sucked a whole lot. A Storm Raptor like advanced 3 inches every turn, but was also just out of threat range the entire game. I felt like I was learning to play War Machine again while playing against Nick Rattel's Tanith list.
That Tanith list is really effing good. Like, Circle players, if you're looking for some magic, go find that Tanith list.
Yeah, so full story of that. So Nick is one of my locals, and a few years ago, he started playing Kruger 2 until his eyes bled. And then Tharn came out and he played Iona until his eyes bled. And then for the last little while, he's been experimenting and playing all kinds of weird stuff. And we put up the challenge of having him find something new and interesting and something that's unique to him. So he made this Tanith list, and I think he's on like the fifth or sixth iteration of it. And it is, when you look at the list, it is just a pile of garbage. It is, you're like, you're a Croaks, Primal Archon, Dunians, you're like, is this even a fucking Circle list? Who plays this garbage? And then, like, on the middle of turn two, because you know nothing of how the list works, you just get gotcha'd so many times. You're like,
it's funny because it's all true.
you're just like, it's like in Home Alone when the guys are just like stumbling through the house, like stepping on rakes and shovels and like walking into every trap. That's what playing against that list is like. You're just like, oh my God, why does she have Sack Pawn to the Hermit?
That's what happened to Julian. Yeah. Yeah. So in my game against him, I had a Void Archon go forward, and in my head, I'm like, all right, I can get this Void Archon spray across a couple Croaks, and if I kill one of them with the spray, then ports over, he's got souls on him, so I can beat up this Primal Archon, and I can boost the damage twice with the melee attacks. All right, let's go on that plan. So my Void Archon goes forward, like, into the middle of nowhere, and sprays. I hit two of the Croaks. He then doubled Dunian's Archons, each one getting one of the Croaks. So now my Void Archon just doesn't move, and is not in range to even attack anything in melee. I'm like, well, this sucks a whole lot. So then I just lost a Void Archon for nothing.
You did 2d3 damage to the Dunian Archons. Good trade, dude.
Yeah, it was perfect. And then, like, the round after that, I got Tana Shadowbound a Primal Archon with her gun. Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. I know a couple other guys that I either travel up there with or talk to often about the game. Like, we all lost this Tanith list. Danny lost to it. Julian lost to it. I remember Julian was like, all right, time to go for this assassination run on Tanith. He, like, takes his first shot into her and hits her, and he sack punched the Hermit, and, like, Julian's brain exploded.
So the best part about sacking to the Hermit is he can vision himself, and then he can get double vision from the Dunian Archons. And then if anything else dies, like she sack punched to a Croak, then it triggers the heals from the Dunian Archons so you can heal back up the Hermit.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's
it
like,
can be like 10 sack pawns just to the Hermit and a Croak.
Yeah, it's insane. You just don't, like, guns. You're like, a Slona, how many shots do you have? 22? I guess I'll put 3 Croak Raiders around and Hermit around Tanith. Seems fine.
Good God.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yep.
So my team took the round one loss to Matt, and then round two we got matched up against the Wet Willies, which was Brian, Isaac, Kim, and Kent. Rich had met Isaac before. I didn't know him, but I got put into him. So he dropped Zarkova 2 into Striker 1. And I'm like, all right, this is okay, probably. And they're like, he's going to assassinate you. Just don't get killed. And I'm like, okay, guys, I hear you. So I'm going to walk Stryker 3 inches up the table on turn one behind a forest, and I'm going to be okay. And he's like, I think I can get 5 Greylord Outriders on Stryker. I'm like, what? I'm not ready for that. But I think we worked out the math, and it was only like a 50-50, so he doesn't go for it. And then he feats, and I didn't really put the two and two together on like the harm that Iana could double harm. So I'm like, I've got a soul on Alexia. This is fine. I'm going to Arcane Vortex. He's like, all right, feat will harm again. I'm like, oh, fuck. Here comes like a +6 armor swing or -6 armor swing my way. He rolls some absurdly bad dice and leaves the blockader on like 7 boxes. And then it just went in and did work. And then I pretty much, that was the end, was him not killing the blockader. So we 3-0 round 2, and the dream is still not dead, because as long as Matt... Oh, no, actually it didn't matter, because Matt and Jake had qualified, but Trish had not. Because our thought was, if the winning team had qualified, the spot trickles down to the first team that has not qualified, and then it goes to champs after that. So our thought was, if we could get someone that all 3 people had qualified, we could get a trickle-down spot if we took second. So we were kind of still hoping to submarine at this point. Matt, how was your round 2?
I'd just like to talk about how you wanted my trickle-down for a second.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. My round 2, I played some War Machine. I played Animag, so that'll be the story for this whole con. Round 1 was against you. You know, that game happened like a week ago.
Yeah, it's okay. You don't have to go through the whole round. That's fine.
I don't remember what happened. I played Animag. I pushed models forward, and then my opponent did things, and then I won the game, probably, is how it went.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
I'll talk about Tanith again if you want to hear about my round 2 again.
I think we're good, Brad.
Okay, great.
My round 3, I played against Harby, though, and that was a game. It was an interesting one, and I was able to take it at the end. Maybe that was round 2. How many rounds did I play? Was round 3 against Jake, and round 2 was against Harby?
We played 4, and then cut to top 2, which was the Molly Whoppers and Team Brexit.
Yeah, that was fun, because the Molly Whoppers were all 3 of them were qualified for Masters. The Brexiteers, 2 of them were qualified for Masters. for those that have not gone to Captain Con, Lost Hemisphere does a charity raffle that starts when the team tournament ends. So not only did we do a cut to 2, but we also did a lunch break. And so we weren't going to be done. If everything went well, we weren't going to get done till 11 p.m. So we were talking with them, and they were like, can we shoot for 10? And I was like, you know what? Yeah, we'll make it happen at 10. So I'm going to jump ahead. We cut to those 2 teams. It is 9 o'clock. And I'm like, all right, guys, here's the deal. We don't have to play this game. Like, we know that Mark is going to get qualified for Masters no matter what happens. And the Molly Whoppers and the Brexiteers go, we came to play, boys. So
I think the Brits said that. The Molly Whoppers were fine not playing, but the Brits were like, well, we don't drop. We came to play, so we're going to play. And then I think they all looked at each other like, well, fuck, I guess we're playing.
Oh, is that what happened?
Okay. I think so. I mean, I could be wrong. I think the Molly Whoppers were fine with not playing, and the Brits were like, no, fuck this shit, we're playing.
I didn't ask him, but I'd imagine that the boys wanted to play as well.
I'm very possibly.
Pretty sure they. I think they wanted to play, but by the time the round was, or the match was half over, they regretted their decision.
Although, did you see what they were doing for dinner?
No.
So they had ordered like Chinese takeout. I don't know if it was delivery or from the restaurant in the lobby. Regardless, I know they had to-go containers full of like lo mein or whatever, but whoever brought it to them or however they received it, they didn't get utensils, so they used their Frozen Forge measuring sticks as chopsticks.
Nice. My soul! It hurts!
Yeah, so Danny and Justin were using measuring sticks as chopsticks. It was the highlight of my weekend, I think. Yeah, right over there?
I'm dying on the inside.
That sounds pretty terrible. I'm glad I didn't see that.
So I guess my round four was against Jake Willstrop, and we played the Zal 2 versus Animag matchup, and that was super fun. Came down to the bottom of 7. I lost on like 1 CP or something. I could have made plays to win the game, but learning matchup hard, making mistakey, and that's fine. Yeah, Molly Whoppers won the team tournament. The Brexiteers got second, and I think Rippin' Farts and Breakin' Hearts got third.
You did. You guys got third, and Dick Thunder took fifth, which was really nice. Was really proud. We did. We won 2 to the first round, and then 9-0'd the rest of the day. So that was super sweet.
Nice.
So then, because we only had one person qualify from the team tournament, we had to dip into champions. So we took the second and third placing players, which was Tim Fongs and Clayton Flint. Flint, yeah. Both two great guys to round out Masters.
So Clayton was, Clint?
Yes, that person.
Clayton Flint. I'm just going to keep butchering his name. I called him Flint for like all of WTC last year. He was judging the event. I just kept calling him Flint. I've seen him at like a million cons and hung out so much. So what's up, Flint? He's like, you know, my name's Clayton, right? I'm like, yeah, I knew that.
So at some point in that evening at around 3 in the morning, since I don't have to wake up the next day, we're trying to figure out what game to play, and Kat is really hyped to play some Scythe. And at the time, that felt like a good plan. But if you haven't played Scythe, if you have like any new players at all, or everyone's drinking heavily, it could take 2, 3, 4 hours if everyone's not moving fast. So by 5:30, I was instantly regretting that decision that to play Scythe, to start a game of Scythe at 3 a.m. on a Saturday. So I get to bed at 5:30 and made no rush to come down. Went to the desk, asked for a late checkout. She's like, "We can do noon." I'm like, "Great, I'm gonna sleep till 11:30." Awesome. And then did that. So I came down, I think, mid round 2 of Masters when I finally got up and cleaned the room out.
That was Masters. Not...
Sorry, go
ahead. I was gonna say that was not my life. Not only was I running. You know, running events, so I had to be there to set up the tables for Masters, but we also brought our dog to the con, and so I had to walk her in the morning because I wasn't playing. So I think I got up at like 6 on Sunday.
He also had to babysit me and make sure I ate and drink food.
That was Trisha's job. I had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, Mama Soretti looked after me real good.
Yeah, you guys played a man defense with the children, you know, when you took the dog, when you took Matt. You didn't do the zone, which I think is the smart move.
I got to bed early 2 out of the 3 nights.
You didn't on Saturday, though.
I was fucked on Saturday. I had to have Grant put in my list for me because I couldn't see the screen and my fingers couldn't hit the button.
He's just sitting next to me. He's like, Grant, if I tell you what to put in this list, can you make it for me? Because my fingers aren't working. So I put in his first list. And I'm like, all right, Matt, what's your second list? And he goes, oh, no, I can do the second list. I'll be fine. I was like, it's been 5 minutes, Matt. I'm not sure what's changed, but you did get your second list in.
I had no intention of playing my second list, so it was fine.
Yeah. So that was cool. Also, when I was there, I had to get a new room key to the hotel because somebody who shall remain nameless decided that they were going to go and tell the lobby that they were me drunkenly at like 3 in the morning the night before and get them to make them keys without an ID. So they deactivated all the good keys. So we found that out Saturday night. So when I went to go back to bed, I had to also get a new key because my key didn't work. So that was cool. Just calm things, guys.
Rough. Yeah. So Masters was super fun. I played against Jeremy Posner round 1, and it was a super fun game. He played Fiona, I played Animag, and I don't know. So full disclosure here. I was gonna drop at some point before the finals because I had to be home by a certain time. So there was no way I was playing out the whole day. So I went into every round telling my opponent exactly what list I was going to play and then telling them, please beat me. and like helping them do it to the best of my ability. And so round one, I managed to win the game. I was like, ah, damn, I have to go play round two. And then round two, I play against Marc-Andre and Marc-Andre LeBlanc, and I managed to pull that victory out and win that one. And then round three, I played against Mark David, and he's like, I know you have to go, so let's just play a quick game. Played a super friendly game, was super fun, and I managed to take that one too. And I conceded the finals because I had to travel, so it was a super fun Masters for me.
So as someone who was riding out that train to the bitter end, I don't think anyone was upset when you said, I'm done.
Yeah, I got like some messages from people in the Masters and like people attending were like, thank you for making it not a fourth round.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone was pretty ready. I woke up with a text saying Britt's flight got canceled, so you don't have to drive them to Boston. And I thought it was just a joke, so I'm like, oh, let me get down there. And then turns out that that was not, in fact, a joke, that their flight did get canceled, and they were not leaving until... I don't think they even had a flight at that point, but it didn't end up being until Monday evening, which I felt bad for them on that, because, you know, we were their ride. You know, they had to get back. Like, Jake had work in, like, 2 days, so it got all kinds of messed up, but they got back and it was super sweet that they flew in. Those guys are awesome, and we had a really good time hanging out with them. And I will say, when I signed up for this in my awesome ignorant American geography skills, keeping in mind that I went to college for 4.5 years in New Hampshire, I was like, it's fine because we're in Rhode Island and Boston is south and west, and so it'll be on the way home. And then I looked at the Google Maps and was like, oh, Boston's 1.5 hours northeast, which is not on the way home. And so I failed geography.
Don't you like program flight maps?
I do what I do, Brad.
Don't you only deal with maps?
You know, I do things with airplanes and stuff. Yeah, so that was, you know, it was kind of relief on my part, but I felt really bad. But I was like, that sucks. But also now I can kind of leave whenever I want instead of leaving, like sitting there watching the finals. And Matt left anyway, so it didn't end up mattering. But in my mind, it was going to be like a Jake-Matt finals, and it's going to be like 5:30, and their flight's at 8. And I'm like, boys, you're flying international. We got to get the fuck out of here. So, Jake, you probably need to take whatever assassination you get or concede, because we got to go. But that didn't happen.
No Jake and I game has ever not gone to time on turn 7.
Great. That would have been perfect. That would have been great.
Yeah, I was like, it's a 7.5 hour drive home. When Pete announced the lunch break, I was like, yeah, there's no way I can play the finals. If there was no lunch break, I would have played the finals. But my car was getting real antsy. The people I was with didn't make the top 16. They were like, we kind of want to go home, Matt. Get home before 2 a.m. would be nice. So yeah, it was a fun weekend for me. I had a really good time. I will say that despite the internet telling me that Legion was bad, I did not encounter a single thing that made the faction feel bad.
So before we delve into that, was there anything surprising from the meta there?
No.
Yeah, I don't think I was shocked by anything.
Okay.
I think Flames, Menoth, and Infernals,
yeah.
Was like my meta call, and I think I just like hit the nail on the head. Like, my pairing was specifically made to beat that, and I got every matchup I was looking for.
Hmm. Okay. So I didn't see a lot of Rhett. Was I just blind to it? I didn't see a lot of Rhett. I definitely didn't see a lot of trolls. There was only like 2 or 3 troll players in the team tournament. The COC was interesting because they just had their dynamic update, and like people were scrambling to buy like Crix models to run for Strange Bedfellows.
Yep. I did not see a lot of trolls, and like you said, there was only 2 in the team tournament. I played Rhett twice in standard issue, but they just happened to be in my heat. So like I can't say Rhett was like super popular, but of course I ran into it twice. So
yeah.
Infernals. And maybe it was just because I played them and saw them on like tables next to me. Infernals felt like they were everywhere, even though looking at the team tournament statistics, they weren't.
there was one heat that had like almost all the Infernal players in it for standard issue on Friday.
Did you banish them to the Shadow Realm?
No, it just kind of worked out that way. The vast majority of them were in that one heat.
So my highlight of the con was Danny was playing against Jake Wilstrup, and I just kept taking his... He lined up all his horrors
yes.
to summon.
Yeah.
And I just... Well, every time he looked at the opposite side of the table, I would take one. And I got through like five or six of them before he even noticed.
Yeah, I about lost it because he put down his tape measure in the place where the horrors existed.
And then he looked down and started freaking out and then saw I was like sitting opposite him and he was like, oh, Matt took them.
That was a really, really good game to watch. What was that? That was Zataroth and Zaltu.
I think they played three times that weekend. They played Zataroth. Yeah, I think they played Omo Zaltu once and Zataroth Zaltu twice. I think he won the Omo one and lost the Zataroth ones, maybe?
Yeah.
You talking about Danny and Jake?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was Omo twice, Zat once. Danny won... Yeah, Omo twice, Zat once. Danny won one of the Omo games.
Yeah. I think that's a very good matchup to learn. I played that at WTC twice, and Omo definitely feels way better there.
Yeah, so my takeaways was if you haven't played into the Infernals, basically all three of them, the Infernals casters themselves, that's definitely a thing you need to do to see how they operate. Zaltu is still fucking strong. There was a lot of Menoth and Flames. I think you got to be prepared for Flames as well, because that theme is really good and it's very, very popular for a reason. I think those are the three big ones. The Convergence stuff had just dropped, so Strange Bedfellows wasn't like a huge thing. I mean, Brad, I don't know if you want to talk about any of that, of how you see that theme coming up.
Strange Bedfellows?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's not a Crix theme.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'll be interested to see where the list falls in like a month or two, once all the new pieces come out and people have time to play it for a longer period of time. I didn't actually play against... I did play against Convergence once this weekend, but I played against Clockwork Legion with Lucant. While I was near Strange Battle of Fellows, I didn't get to play against it. It did seem neat, though, but I don't know where the list will shape up to. I do think, though, it's another theme that will choose not to play more Neighbor 1 or 2.
I disagree.
Uh-oh. Hot take time.
I think Mord Nebra 2 is super compelling in that theme, and I think Mord Nebra 1 with Helldivers overrunning them is super compelling.
All right. Okay. I mean, I'm happy to be wrong. It'd be great to see...
Yeah, better be happy, because you're wrong.
Yeah, I like being wrong.
All right.
it's not something that I'm going to run from.
Jesus.
It looks super exciting. I'm really looking forward to putting it on the table. I think giving Mort Number 1 and Mort Number 2 actually good guns and like access to decent jacks that aren't Crix jacks is pretty exciting. And also like induction for the Mort Number 2 is huge because he just doesn't have the focus to allocate, right?
I'm excited for that as well. I thought it was a great weekend. I thought that con... I don't want to jerk you off too hard, but I thought it was run really, really well. Just top to bottom, it was great. I didn't have any issues. And we had nice weather. Like, normally in Rhode Island, it's like 8 degrees, and it was in the 30s, I think, every day. So it was super sweet all around. No issues at all. It was great to see everybody. Had some great games. Had a great time. Definitely would recommend if anyone did put it off for a year just because of having issues or whatever, I would definitely suggest that anyone give Captain Con another chance next year, specifically for the War Machine. I can't really speak to any of the other events, obviously, but the War Machine was great. So, anything else for anybody? Any other thoughts on the weekend?
On the weekend? I don't think so. I had a great time playing War Machine. I want to play more whenever I can.
Yeah, you've got ATC coming and OTC coming up, right?
Yeah, OTC, ATC, both in the month of March. So coming up, we are doing a couple different practice things coming up for it. So I don't know. I have a lot of War Machine scheduled through the end of March. And then after that, I have
no idea what I'm doing in terms of what I'm doing after March. But between now and Adepticon, there's a lot of War Machine to play.
Oh, yeah, and we also didn't talk about it on the cast. I did do the post, but Brad, you got picked to be on Danny's WTC team, so congrats. You and I had a talk about that. I know you've been working really hard, so I'm really proud of you for making that jump.
Thank you. It was a goal for a while, so finally making the team is part one of that goal. The second part is actually making it to the event to play in it. So I don't have any doubts that I'll be able to do so, but until you actually get there, you know, you never know. So, no, I'm looking forward to playing. I'm looking forward to the building up to the event, the practicing list, the communicating with the team of what should we be playing and how to answer the meta and what we think the meta is going to be. Because it whatever you think it is, guaranteed once lists come out, you're going to go, oh, well, we didn't plan for this list, which is fairly common on teams that we're worried about. So, yeah, the whole everything around it I'm excited for.
So we went through two. Well, we were personally at one con, but we, you know, this is the start of con season. You've got LVO and then Captain Con, and then some other things kind of kick off from there. Is anyone? I guess I don't think Captain Con's got posted, but based on what we saw from LVO with the significant amount of Infernals, is anyone kind of surprised by what we're seeing in the meta? Is there anything that jumps out to anybody that to keep an eye on, or is it kind of just same as what we saw towards the end of last year, November, December, like pre-con season? Like, are we kicking off? Go ahead.
We're waiting for releases still. A large part of what I'm doing right now is I'm rotating through factions to try to figure out what solves what in the meta. But like, generally speaking, we're still waiting on so many releases for factions to actually get like the full concept, right? So like, as an example, Convergence is fine. It's in a good spot. But once it has Aurora 2 and the Angels and Gatsby and Nemo, it's in an undoubtedly better spot. Same with Mercs and Signar. So we're still waiting on those releases. We're still waiting on Resolutes. So I think that in the next 2 months, we're going to see a lot of meta shift. Just because like Flames is only going to get better from where it is now, so is Convergence. And then like with the Riot Quest releases of Helga 2 and other upcoming models, we're going to see a lot of power shifts from that as well. So I don't like going into this con season. I think you just need to anticipate Infernals and Flames because of the new hotness. You need to be aware of Kruger 2 and you know, Chuck Dogwood. And then you need to anticipate like the off metalists that are good at solving those. Tridents are still going to be as powerful as they always were. Serenia is the new golden girl in Menoth, so you have to be aware of that. Yeah, I think that's like Zaltu still Zaltu. I think that's like the meta right now, and until the releases are out, I think it's going to stay the same.
Yeah. I think I agree with that. Like I previously said, Infernals, I think if for some reason, if you haven't, I think you need to see that. Me getting to see it twice this weekend was really, really eye-opening. And watching some of the games, like watching Danny and Jake's game and one of Mark's games, they definitely, they're very interesting. And they look fun. Definitely not a faction I want to buy into, because I don't want to buy all that shit. But definitely need to see that. They play different. All right. Anything else, guys? We'll call this an episode and maybe suck a little less next time. I don't know. You know,
we're a little
rusty.
Little rusty.
Got to shake the rust off. But
this was Fully Boosted episode 2. I'm Grant Ritchie.
Perfect.
Well, right. I'm second again. I'm Brad.
I'm Matt McWaters.
And I'm also Pete. Thanks for listening.